I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I'm just so pleased to be in the house of the Lord and that you are here worshiping God with us together on this beautiful day. And what makes it a beautiful day is that God created it. We are so fortunate to be blessed with a beautiful day. And I welcome especially our visitors and friends who are visiting with us today. If you would fill out, there's a little card in the pew there that says welcome, and that's for you to fill out and let us know about yourselves, because we'd like to get to know you better and hope that you want to get to know us better as well. I get the privilege of also welcoming my family that's here today. Both of my parents are here, my brother George and my husband Joe. They're all worshiping here because today's my birthday. Yay! And I would be remiss if I just didn't thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all your kindnesses, your well wishes, your cards and gifts. I so appreciate that. And I'm just not going to tell you how old I am, and don't ask Sue. So. I think we're also going to recognize other birthdays, too, so there might be some that we want to wish happy birthday to as well who are here today. But let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Good morning. Good morning. It's always good to have latecomers in here. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am the liturgist for today. This would be my last Sunday for this month to be your liturgist and servant for this Sunday. It is good to see everyone out there and out here in the congregation, and I just hope that everyone is doing well and feel blessed. There are several announcements in your bulletin. I'm not going to read over all of them because I think you guys can do that. I'm just going to touch on a couple of them. The pumpkins, they are arriving next Sunday, so we'll be offloading those after church. That would be October 2nd. So bring your, you know, if you plan on helping us do that, bring your work clothes with you to church so you don't have to go home and you know, and change or whatever and miss out on all that. There will be a little lunch provided afterwards. Also, too, Debbie Cherry, there are a list of donations that they are needing. We do have a box here in the back of the church for any of those donations, and I know they greatly, greatly appreciate those. Also, today we have our church council meeting. It is at 6 o'clock this evening, and I cannot stress enough, if you don't hold a committee chair, if you're not on a committee, it doesn't matter. If you want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your church, and this is your church, you would want to be at that meeting so that you can see what all is happening, what all events are coming up, how our finances are going. All facets of the church are discussed in that meeting. So please, please, everyone come out, 6 o'clock tonight, regardless of what position that you may not hold. You want to have a vested interest in your church. There are other announcements, like I said, you know, coming up this week as far as meetings, other upcoming events. I'm going to leave that to you all to read over inside your bulletin. As Pastor Esther mentioned, as well as her birthday, we have other birthdays that are coming up this week. Would anyone like to stand that's having a birthday this week? That's here. Annabelle. So, can we sing happy birthday? Annabelle, stand. Esther, are there other announcements?
Just sign up to help.
Oh, yes, there is a sign up in the back in the hallway, I believe, to sign up for the pumpkin patch. Anything else? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to keep you all updated, I want to try to keep you updated every week about the food bank. Friday, we served another 52 families.
Yay!
It's only because of your generosity that we're able to do this. In the bulletin, there's a note that said the goal is 1,000 items for by the end of October. We're going to redo that. My goal now is 3,000. We are at present over 1,500 items for just this month.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We can easily hit the 3,000 mark, which means Marist Bank will in turn give us a check probably, if it's like last year, for well over $3,000. So please,
the more we donate, the more we give back.
Thank you.
Amen. Are there any other announcements possibly out here in the congregation that we might be missing? Okay. All right. If you will turn to the back of your worship element to the opening words. God of creation, you raised the sun up this morning, just as you raised your son from death to life. Even if clouds and rain darken the view, you are the light of the world, and you have called us to be the light. In the darkest of the night, we know that daybreak is coming. The hope of the world is in you. Join our hearts together in worship so we might experience your light more fully. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals to page 514, we'll sing Stand Up for Jesus, verses 1, 3, and 4.
Stand up, stand up.
verse 3. Turn to 881. We'll have our affirmation of faith. And we'll all read together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Are you the only one? No, Ashton is coming up here with her brother. She's coming up. We have Candy up here. Yes, we do. We have Candy up here. Oh, and Chanel is coming right there. She can sit right there if she wants to. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Well, oh, my goodness. Come on up. How are you today? I want to talk with you about superheroes. If you could be a superhero, what super strength or superpower would you like to have? What kind of superpower would you like to have? I missed that, Andy. What was it?
Super singing.
Super singing. Super singing. All right. Superpower. Way to go. What about you, Zachary? Do you know what you would like to do? Super speed. Oh, Reverse Flash. And Reverse Flash is a bad guy. You want to be a super villain. That's what he wants to be, a super villain. Okay, well, we get a superpower from God, too. In fact, we get a couple of superpowers. Yes, we do. We get hope, faith, and love are the three things that God gives us to do God's work in the world. We can't do God's work in the world unless we have help from God, and God helps us do that. But there's another superpower that I want to tell you about, and that's holy or sacred sight. Sacred sight. We see things with our eyes right? That's eyesight. But no matter how good a vision we have, some of us have better vision than others, we sometimes miss things with our eyes. But God gives us what we call sacred sight so that we see with our hearts, not just our eyes, we see with our hearts. And we see others right in front of us that sometimes we would overlook unless we had this vision that we are getting from God. To look at God's people, and what we see with our heart is that other people are the children of God. We're all children of God. We look at other people and we don't pass over them because they look different or act different or are different, differently abled. We don't look over people. They are all children of God, and God helps us see that and gives us special vision to include all people. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you for the holy power, dear God, of sacred sight. Help us to see others as your children for love. Amen. Thank you, and you can have a piece. Your candy, Ashton? There you go. You want a piece of candy? Okay. There you go. There she goes. She found her piece. Choosy. That's all. Please come forward as we prepare to receive the morning for you. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer today to lift up our thanks for your goodness to us. We feel so blessed. And we ask, O God, that you would use the gifts that we bring for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
is the word of our God. All of God's words are so worthy of trust. God's mercy falls on the just and the right. Full of God's love is the earth.
We're told to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and right now we want you to help us make a joyful noise to the Lord. And trust me, whatever comes to your mouth, out of your mouth, God's going to like it. So stand up, here's the words, sing along with us.
Bring down.
a beautiful and powerful testimony to the love of our God this morning. Thank you to Andy, to George, to the choir, to Marlon, and I appreciate all of you. What you do to lead worship makes such a powerful difference. We appreciate that. We have those that we need to be in prayer for today that I would like to share with you. I want to continue to pray for Marlene and Lloyd Stone. They're at a stage in life when it's all about caregiving and care receiving, and we need to pray for the caregiver as well as Marlene, so we pray for Lloyd as well. Tom and Rose Wheelhouse, we found out this week that Rose has been in the hospital. She's home now, but very weak, and we need to keep her in our prayers, both Tom and Rose. Jean Clark is having some surgery this week, and so we want to remember him, that the surgery that he's doing. We have a couple of cancer patients, Jean Story and Lou Beatty, who continue to fight the good fight against cancer. And I want to remember Betty Kuhn as well this morning. I just found out this morning that she has pneumonia, and we need to be remembering her in prayer today as well. And I know there are others which I have not named, but I want us to take a moment or two of silence, and we can name those before God, either silently or loud, as we go to God in prayer. Sharon Harris. All of these, dear God, and more, we lift up to you today. And we lift up, oh God, our hurting world. People and places that are suffering from violence, especially, dear God. Remind us of our call to be peacemakers in this world. And remind us of our call to be one in you. We offer our prayers to you, to God, dear God, today, knowing that you are the great physician, that you can touch and that you can heal and that you surround us with your care even when we do not know it or feel it. The power of your presence is at work in us. And we pray all this to your glory. In the name of your Son who taught us to pray, as a people, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to 176 in your hymnal, we'll sing Majesty.
Worship is mine.
Please be seated.
Our scriptures from this morning are out of Luke, chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. That is found on page 97 out of the pew hymnal, pew Bible, I'm sorry. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I begged you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Old spiritual, "Rock of my soul in the bosom of Abraham." That's based on this scripture passage. That's a great one. I'd sing it, but I don't know. I don't think I have a joyful noise.
Give it a go.
Give it a go. Now, I think I'm going to try and stick with what I do a little bit better. But anyway, and that is to tell you that in the movie The Princess Bride, some of you may remember if you're of a certain age, one of the running gags throughout that movie is a man who continually says that things are inconceivable. But the problem is, everything he says that is inconceivable happens. And finally, his partner in crime looks at him and says, "I don't think that word means what you think it means." We're going to talk about something being inconceivable. And I'm going to talk about my family right now, my father in particular. To him, to my dad, the idea that his children could hear him tell us to do something and then not do it was inconceivable. He would tell one of us to do something, and if we didn't hop to it right then and there, he would bark, "Didn't you hear me? Didn't you hear me?" Sounds like a lot of daddies. For my daddy, not hearing him was the only possible explanation for our not doing as he asked us to do. So hearing without obeying was inconceivable, simply not possible, something he could not understand or imagine. Of course, we did. We knew all along. But our gospel lesson turns on a question of hearing without obeying. In verse 29, Abraham says to the rich man, Your five brothers have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. For Abraham in the story and for Jesus, the storyteller, it was inconceivable that people could actually hear what Moses and the prophets said and yet not obey, not do what was commanded. In Jewish tradition, to listen to the word of God is more than hearing with your ears. It's also doing what the word of God commands you to do. In the parable, we hear Jesus retelling a story that was part of the folklore of his day. That was a common story, the rich man and Lazarus. It's not a story which we should use to try and figure out what life after death is like. No, that's not the point of this story. Jesus uses this folk tale about rewards and punishment in the same way that a preacher today might joke about someone going to heaven and meeting, you know, St. Peter at the pearly gates. And did you hear the one about the woman who, when St. Peter asked her to prove that she was a Methodist, she started looking in her handbag and saying, "I know there's a hot dish or a jello mold in here somewhere." So Jesus tells this story, and he tells it very well. He creates these vivid images for us that stick in our head. In the story, we hear about this very self-indulgent rich man who wears expensive clothes and eats gourmet food all day long, while at the gate of his mansion, there is poor Lazarus, starving and hoping for a handout and being licked by the dogs. And then, as happens, they both die. The rich man is descended into hell, and Lazarus is carried by the angels to the bosom of Abraham. This reversal of fortune becomes even starker when the rich man asks Abraham to send Lazarus to me with a mere drop of water to cool my tongue. And Abraham says, "No, it can't be done. It's too late. Nobody can cross the distance between us. You made your bed, now sleep in it." That's where the song would say, you know, "So tall you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide you can't get around it. Oh, rock of my soul." There, I did it. Resigned to his fate, the rich man tries to save his family. He says, "Send Lazarus to warn my brothers so that they will not wind up here too." In reply, Jesus says, "Abraham says you and they have already been told. You and they have Moses and the prophets. You and they have chosen not to listen. It is inconceivable that you really listen, because you have shown no evidence of having heard in the way that you have lived your life." Hearing and obeying is the expectation. The man pleads that someone may be coming, you know, from the place of the dead. A spirit, maybe, or a ghost would surely convince his brothers. But Jesus does not back down. This chasm is fixed. He insists that they have already been told all they need to know. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The problem, Jesus said, is not that we do not know what we're called by God to do. The problem is that we have not listened. We've not been willing to do as we have been asked. We have not taken God seriously. We have not taken him for his word. I'm going to give you another movie reference here. There's, I think the movie was called My Cousin Vinny. And, yes, a few years old. Well, in this movie, the Brooklyn lawyer Vinny stands before a court in Alabama in front of this super strict judge. And the judge says to Vinny, "Do not appear in my court without appropriate attire." He had been wearing a black leather jacket and jeans, and the judge says, "You have to wear a suit and a tie." Well, the next day, Vinny comes back to court, and he's still dressed in his jeans and his black leather jacket, and the judge reminds him that he was ordered to wear a suit and a tie. And so he fines him for being in contempt of court. And Vinny is astonished by this and says, "You were serious about that? God is serious. The rich man has discovered that God speaking through Moses and the prophets was quite serious when he said things like this that you'll find throughout the Hebrew scriptures. From Deuteronomy 15:7, "If there is any among you, anyone in need, a member of your own community in any of your towns, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor." That's Moses. And now we hear from the prophet Isaiah, "Share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house." That's the prophet speaking. That's the message from Moses and the prophets that we are meant to hear and obey. The rich man could not say he did not know what he was called to do for his poor neighbor, nor could he claim not to know Lazarus, or that Lazarus was starving at his gate. The rich man called Lazarus by name, knew who he was, knew his situation, and even then, he did not care. Even in the afterlife, he continued to look down on Lazarus, attempting to treat him as a servant at his beck and call. "Send Lazarus to me," the rich man says. "Send Lazarus to my brothers." Even when he has lost everything else, he has not lost his sense of place and privilege, which kept him from hearing, really listening, and conceiving of, and obeying the truth God was telling him in the scripture. He just didn't believe God was serious about that. Now, many of you probably remember the famous missionary doctor, Albert Schweitzer. And what you may not know about him is that being a missionary doctor was his third career. He started off as a church musician. He was also a New Testament scholar and wrote a book about the historical Jesus, which I had to read in seminary. And in his spare time, he was also a pastor. But when he was asked why he became a doctor and moved to Africa, he cited this parable. He said that the rich man, for him, represented Europe that had medical care, and that Lazarus, representing Africa, did not. So Albert Schweitzer heard the story of the rich man and Lazarus and decided that it was inconceivable that he not do something because it was obvious that God was serious about that. Now, by the world's standards, you and I are rich. You may not think you're rich, but you are. None of us here, especially, does not know that God has called us to love and serve our neighbors. My question to you is, are we really listening? Do we really hear the command of Jesus? Can we conceive of ways to make that happen? Do we know that God is serious about that? My friends, it's not inconceivable because God is serious about that. Amen and amen.
If you would please stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing Give Thanks. And the rail will be open during the song. Please come as you feel.
Us to do and to be. He calls us, he sends us, but he also prepares us. And so we leave with the hope of knowing that God's love is not beyond us. God's love is for us. And if for us, it's also for the world that he created and loves. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with you as you go his face. Amazing.